Don't get much purtier than that, does it, T-Bar?
No, it sure does not.
That's brand new from our good friend, O. Susanna. Can we be good friends now that we've actually met and, and you're here?
We're now in the car together.
Yeah. We were throwing that term around earlier before
we had met. And welcome back to Winnipeg.
Thank you.
You were here, I guess, last year for the Folk Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever bad things you had done 6 years ago or whatever it was, I guess they'd forgotten about.
I think they said I was a B-I-T-C-H.
Too
demanding. I needed a ride.
You didn't do that again last year, though. Is it going to be another?
I got in a fight with Chris Freyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
did you kick his ass?
Most of us have done that, so.
Carrie said that means he loves me.
Yeah. And I was trying to figure out when the last time you'd actually done a show in the city, and I think it was with Jim Bryson and Serena Ryder at the Pyramid.
That's probably true.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
So what's the story? It was a few years between records and a few years between visits. Was it something we said? Or?
Yeah, basically, I hate the city. You know?
So do we.
No. Well, I was eating a lot of bonbons and I had a sugar rush, and I decided I can't go touring anymore. No, I got pregnant, and I had a baby, but I've been here since then. So, like, last year at the festival, I already had a little baby, so.
Yeah.
I've been busy being mom and recording the record, writing some, and I don't know. Yeah, I think the pregnancy was very much a surprise, but a good surprise. And I was like, no, I'm going to do a record. I'm going to do this record, and then I'll maybe get pregnant. But then it worked the other way around.
Sometimes those things don't quite work out.
Yeah.
So does that, I hate to ask the cheesy old question, but does that sort of change your priorities, or does that make it more difficult to justify going out and playing?
Yeah.
Little shows for a week at a time? Or?
Yeah, I think this is sort of the first time I've been away. Like the Winnipeg Folk Festival last summer, I was away for about 5 days, and that was the longest I'd been away from my son, Sal. And so this time, again, it's like the longest I've been away from him. And he's almost two now, so I'm kind of feeling like he can deal with it, although he's now more verbal, so he can say, no, don't leave. And it's hard because you got to figure out the logistics and if he's old enough, then he can really protest. So we'll see how it works.
Does he sort of get what mommy does for a living?
I think he does, but I think it's funny because I think he thinks everybody does that. Like all adults do. He gets people. He's into the drums and he has a little guitar and. When people come over, he has a babysitter who comes by regularly, and he wants her. He's like, he'll play the drums, and then he'll say "do" to her, or with the guitar, and she doesn't really play the guitar or drums, and she says he looks at her like, why can't you do that? And because my husband's a drummer, and everything, he's like. Don't all adults play the drums? Like, what's wrong? But luckily, he's not jealous. Like I think a lot of moms face their kids get jealous of their instrument, or they think it's something taking away from them. But luckily, he doesn't feel that way yet.
Yeah.
Does
your husband obviously is a musician? Does he still play out a lot too? I haven't.
He does stuff.
I haven't seen his name in the liner notes for a little while.
Yeah, like he played a lot with By Divine Right and Luther Rain the Wrongs, and he was in Weeping Tile, and he does stuff. He's doing stuff with Tim Vesley of the Real Statics, and they've been recording, and people around Toronto, local gigs, but not that long, long days of touring. I think that's too hard to be away that long.
Did your parents disown you when they found out you were marrying a drummer?
They love making drummer jokes. No, they love Cam. He's a super nice, laid-back guy, and they probably don't understand what he's doing with me.
It must be hard to sort of juggle your schedules. Like you'd think that, being a musician, you'd want one of you to be sort of have a stable job, right?
Well, yeah, that's what he's doing now. Actually, he's got the day job. being a mom. So basically, we're a traditional family now, where I'm like the housewife, and he goes out, makes the money, says, "Hey, honey, where's my beer?" Actually, not. I'm like, "Can you cook some risotto for us, please?" And he's like, "Yeah," because he's an amazing cook. So,
and how has reaction to the album been? I guess it's only pretty new.
Everyone
but,
hates it. I don't know why.
I can see why, actually.
I don't know. That's a weird question to ask me. I don't. I mean, it's been out 10 days.
Well, I mean, people must say that they like it to you, no?
Yes, but they're not going to say they don't like it.
Well, that's why it's an easy question.
Yeah.
But you're doing things yourself this time, I guess. A little more.
I'm owning up to the fact that I'm a control freak. And well, Colin Cripps, who produced the last couple records, he's too busy with his new wife, Kathleen. Yeah.
Everybody knows you're better than her.
Even she knows it.
Well, of course.
No, she's going to get mad. She's tough, so I shouldn't say anything. Yeah. And so, anyway, also, the thing is that I've been playing a lot with Basil, and Bob Packwood plays the piano, and we just figured that maybe we should just see what would happen if nobody really was the producer, if we just played the songs and worked it out ourselves. And I had, of course, I'm the final boss of that, but we figured let's try it without someone in charge. And in a way, Colin was always sort of the facilitator of, you know, he would shape what we did, but he always let us just play the way we did.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to do. I like to choose people and because of who they are and their style and then put that together.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, "Can you play like this?" You know, I'd rather pick the people who already play like they do and just get them to play that way.
You got Mr. Luke Doucette again on board playing the guitar. Always good to hear him on your records. And I guess a bunch of other folks appear on here. Mr. Rutledge.
Yeah, Justin. Pretty boy Justin. And actually, they're all pretty boy. So is Luke, but he's now over 30, so.
Yeah.
But, Burke Carroll. We're just talking about how Burke was playing with Kathleen. And David Baxter is someone I had played with like 10 years ago, and he's a guitar player. He produced the record with Justin, Justin's latest record.
Yeah.
And Kevin Fox, who's a cello player, he's played with almost everybody.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
And Joey Wright, who's a mandolin player, guitar player. He's been playing with Sarah Harmer.
He's got his own record out just a little while ago.
Yeah, he's married to Jenny Whiteley, and
yeah.
So there's a lot of incestuous things going on.
it's a little, I think anyway, it's a little more rootsier record again than the last two anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of started out that way with the sort of simplified folkier records.
Yeah.
And then the last couple were a little more produced, I guess, a little more polished, I guess.
And just different, sort of more atmospheric, or like playing with sounds and, you know, still pretty straight ahead, not too weird.
Yeah.
But like more electric instrumentation. Whereas this one, I really want it to be very acoustic.
Yeah. So you consciously wanted to sort of get back to the roots, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm always reacting to what I do before. And so the last record was kind of like the most, I mean, it's in a way, it was one of the most electric records I'd done, and sort of a band record, and I was reacting against that and thinking I'll do something more intimate and natural sounding. And I think that part of, you know, we wanted to capture the magical thing that happens if it's just, you know, the singer and the guitar.
Right.
You know, adding other colors to it with the other instruments, but having that be like the lone voice in space, you know, in a big field or something with a lot of space around it. And I think I was quite influenced by Justin Rutledge's first record, No Never Alone, because he had this beautiful production on there where lots of stuff going on, but really spacious.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this, I mean, when people go to see you, I think what people love about you, like what I do anyways, is that, you know, there's a real sort of intimacy with your music or a real strong connection, like, because I don't know, I guess we saw you with a band the last time you were here, but but normally it's just you and maybe one other player or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I guess this sort of is more indicative of, of what we see live then.
I think so. Or when I've come to Winnipeg and had some really great shows, like I played with Jesse Zubod here once, and I love those shows that are just really stripped down and really bare bones. It's fun to rock with the band, but sometimes something gets lost with that. And, I mean, yeah, I think that's really what we wanted to capture, is something that wasn't really, really different from what people see, or what connects people, I think, to what I do, is they like that intimacy, like you said.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it, too. And I think I was just playing around with the other stuff, you know, to have fun and lighten it up a bit. Because it can get kind of dark and intense.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a lot of your stuff, I mean, when I first saw you back around the Johnstown era, your songs are pretty dark and pretty sad.
And they're kind of, it's like I'm, especially on that record, I'm really wailing away and, you know, crying out in this kind of angry, sad way. And it's hard to do that. And also, it's funny, I was listening to Nico Case be interviewed, and she was saying that her first record, she had no dynamic, like no sense of volume, you know, being quiet and being loud. And that she said that she just concentrated on singing as loud as she could. And I really felt like, yeah, I totally know what she's talking about. Because I think when you're a young singer, you just think, I want to get as much power and as I can, and the emotion is in the power.
Yeah.
But I think when you get older, you start to realize that there's a lot of subtlety and emotion to be conveyed in the quiet moments too.
For sure, for sure. Do you feel like playing us a song?
Sure. I almost forgot that I was going to do that. Gee, what am I
going to
do?
Show us what you do best. By the way, if you're just tuning in, this is O Susanna. She's playing tonight, High and Lonesome Club, with our good friend Scott Nolan. A little later tonight, $10.
I think it's cheaper than that.
It was $7 in advance, but I understand it's $10 at the door. Well worth it.
Down milk white and berry brown, tell me who'll be 1, 2, or 3. Ribbons fair wrapped round raven hair, smile until you find who the winner be. But mother said no, don't let your daughter go where men's ways are rough and their wills are weak. Soon she'll see how happy she will be when I bring a pretty penny back home with me. Down milk white and berry brown, I saw a buck to bet before I go. Ribbons fair wrapped round raven hair, surely will tell me when, place or show. But mother said no, don't let your daughter go where men's ways are rough and their wills are weak. Soon she'll see how happy she will be when I bring a pretty penny back home with me. When I bring a pretty penny back home with me.
Very nice indeed. That one's on the new record, Short Stories, and I see it's dedicated to your beloved aunt.
Yes.
Do you sort of steal the lives of your friends and relatives for your songs, Susie?
Definitely. Always steal.
How do they feel about that?
Oh, they love it. Actually, I was talking to this friend of mine who lived in Toronto, and I wrote this song called "Ted So Wasted."
Yeah.
I wrote it about this guy, Ted Footman, who owned a bar out there called Barcode and Ted's Wrecking Yard. And he was notorious. Like, he loved music, and he had a great venue, but he loved to drink. So, and he loved sad, sad songs. So I kind of wrote this silly country song about him, and I said, "Hey, Ted, I wrote this song about you." And he was like, "You're not allowed to play that song here. You know, forget it." He hadn't even heard it. And so I was like, oh, he hates me now. But then Melanie told me last night, she's like, "No, you don't know the rest of it," where he went to see a film, and I guess it was in a film, and he started telling everybody how I had written this song about him, how proud he was and how great it was. And so I think it's weird for some people to recognize themselves in the music, but I think in the end they're like, "All right, I'm immortalized in music." So, I mean, I've never really done anything very explicit and horrible where I've, you know, spilled the beans about somebody. And I'm always fictionalizing anyway, even if it is about them.
Is anything sacred, though, or can you write a song
about yes. Things are sacred, but...
People don't have to tiptoe around you?
No,
worrying that you're
I mean, I... It doesn't... It's not... It's funny, because, I mean... Yeah, I mean, and things, I sort of collect things, and they don't necessarily emerge in the music, but I think there's always that joke, like, you don't want to be one of Rick's boyfriends, right? So, I think, yeah, it's, there, you know, you should draw the line somewhere, but it's funny, because Basil, who plays bass with me a lot, he says that he'll see, you know, he plays with Blue Rodeo, and he'll sometimes hear things in Jim and Greg's songs, and he'll go, "Hey, that's my story that I told them about me." And he's like, "Get your own lives, get your own tragedy to write about."
You are, of course, very friendly with those Blue Rodeo folks, I guess. Yeah. That's got to have helped you out a lot over the years, having their sort of seal of approval on what you do.
I guess. I don't know. I mean... It's helped in that you feel like you're part of a community.
Yeah.
And they're really quite good at that, where they will try to get people to open for them that they like, and they, you know, they really seem to decide who they want to have open for them instead of letting other people decide that for them. And they had the Stardust Picnic, and that really kind of forged this bond, and had a whole bunch of different bands playing. And I mean, it's funny now. I was saying recently that Jim is my new boyfriend, because we're doing all this stuff together. We were on Fuse on CBC, and we did this Songwriters Hall of Fame song together, and so I like to tease my husband and say, "Oh, my new boyfriend and I are doing these things." But it's funny, I'm like, I'm totally riding his coattails and he's letting me, so that's good.
But I mean, you're sort of co-build on these things with him.
Guess.
That's got to be cool. Like,
it's
I mean,
very
Jim
cool.
Cuddy's like,
I know.
Like one
I know
of
he's
Canada's
a big
greatest songwriters, right?
Like, I know. But it's taken 10 years. Like, he wouldn't ever ask me to come sing a song with him when I first met him. You're right. I mean, it's great. It's an honor, and it's weird. It's weird to be around him sometimes, because you forget that he's famous, and then he'll have these fans come and chat with him, and then you see...
Do they trample right over to you to get
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, Yeah, it must be really hard to be his wife because she said to me once, I'm just a plus one. So, yeah.
You seem to get asked to appear on a lot of records. I sort of have this running joke, and I don't know if it's all that funny, but I sort of have this belief that every male Canadian singer-songwriter has to have either you or Sarah Harmer sing on the record at some point in their career, or their songwriting license get taken away. But do you get asked to appear on a lot of records? I mean, I hear your voice popping up from time to time. And
I guess over the years, it seems like a lot, but I think in also the last few years, because I wasn't recording and I wasn't on the road very much, I had the time to do things right. like that. But I love doing that. I love singing on other people's stuff, and it feels great to be asked. And actually, someone like Michael Johnston, who I didn't even know, he contacted me and said, would you like to sing these songs? And I was like, yeah, sounds great. And now we're good friends. Like, it's a great thing. Music usually brings people together.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. So
I was going to ask you about Michael, actually, in particular, because I mean, I guess usually when you're on a record, you're singing behind somebody. Yeah. But Michael was like, you got to do lead on,
I know,
on the stuff.
It was
that
very
he did.
Strange. I said to him, because how I learned the songs is that he recorded it with him singing. And I said to him, do you really want me to sing these? Because you singing them is beautiful, and all I'm going to be doing is pretending that I'm you singing these songs. And he's like, no, you really need to do this, and this is what I really want. I want to have a record where it's different voices and different stories. So he's a very generous person, and it was unusual, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And then I get to kind of be like an actress learning a script and embodying a character that someone else has written for me to play.
And I mean, we know Michael real well, so we know what a nice guy he is.
Yeah.
But I mean, does that make it more intimidating in the sense that, like, he's going to let you do whatever you want, but do you go in to sing his song and go, man, I hope I don't screw this up? And
yeah, I was nervous. But I think, he probably thought, I think he chose me because he had something in mind.
Yeah.
And so it was great because he wasn't really trying to change what I do or anything. He just said, you know, try it out. And he later said, you know, it was really interesting to see you in the studio because I got to see how you operate. And with me, I think things are always best when it's only a few takes, because if I do it again and again, I kind of lose it. And I need to kind of capture that freshness and thing. So he really understood that, and he was able to just let me do what I wanted to do.
Yeah, you on your record, you have a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah.
Would it be safe to assume then that he's sort of one of your songwriting idols, or?
Yeah. Now it's funny, when I first started, I didn't know that much about him, and. I just thought he was an old hippie. Yeah, he's not even that. Like, I didn't know what he was about. I didn't know his early records. I just thought he's crazy. He's a born again Christian. He's a Jew. He doesn't know anything, whatever. Like, you know, I just knew all his image or persona. And then my friend, he was playing a Dylan, like one of the early stuff where he does a lot of blues and covers. Yeah. And I was like, who is this? This is incredible. And so I started to get hooked up, as almost every person who does what I do has, you know, Dylan looms large over their heads. But yeah, and I've been that song is one of the first songs I would ever sing in public. So I finally recorded it. It was nice to do that.
Now, what is it about him or I guess a song in general that you look at that sort of is so much more amazing than other songs? How do you?
Because it's incredibly vivid.
Yeah.
Like, the language is so vivid and expressive, and even if it's just like a collage of images. With that song, there's more of a story, you know, because it's about Billy the Kid, you know, who most people have heard of, and it's sort of a mythical, you know, legendary figure. But also, I love the way that you get into the psychology of this person with just, and it's almost kind of this funny rhyming song where the rhyme, he loves to have these rhymes.
Yeah.
And at first it just seems like it's for its own sake, but then there are these layers to it. And my favorite line in the song, or one of my favorites, is when he says, you know, Billy, they don't like you to be so free. And I just, there's something incredible about that line where I don't even know, it just captures so many thoughts and questions to me that I can't even go into it. Like you could write a whole essay about what that line is talking about, or what he's suggesting with that line. And
yeah.
And I think that's why Dylan is so amazing, is that you can interpret so many things with his music, and it's very vivid, and it's you can imagine where you are, you know, you're right there with him.
Now, do you try, I mean, can you purposely try to emulate those things and try to recreate those kinds of things in your songs?
Like, well, you can tell, you can say, I'm going to try to make it as vivid as the songs that I love. And it's hard to judge sometimes, but if you set that, you know, I do go, am I able to visualize, or am I able to actually live through this experience while I'm listening to these lyrics? Or, you know, is it vivid when I hear it, or when I sing it, am I there with this song? Like, yeah. Am I captivated by it? And that's how I know if it's working, because if I feel like I'm in this dream with these characters, then it's working for me, and then I can sing it in a way that's hopefully going to work for someone who's listening to it.
Yeah.
I try to come at it from being inside of it.
Yeah.
Because, and that's sort of weird, because you don't know how anybody else is going to hear it. But in a way, it doesn't matter. Like, what matters is how I hear it and how I'm experiencing it. And if it seems real to me, that's all I can go by, really.
Yeah. I mean, that's so much of what I love about your songs, is that I you know, I pick up on these great pictures of people and these great stories, and the way they you really bring them to life with your words. I mean, that's certainly something that I always admire about you. And I don't know if that's like, is that sort of first and foremost what's important to you, is telling that good story that's gonna resonate with people?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the music is telling a lot of the story. But yes, that is completely what I'm trying to do, like live other people's lives and somehow learn something about other people through music, or learn something about myself and have gained some kind of comfort in these stories. And just, I'm entertained and fascinated by other people and what they've lived through, and sometimes it's just made up, something that I've thought of or somehow springs to mind. I don't even know where it came from. So, but I mean, I think everybody is captivated by looking, you know, this kind of, it seems sort of voyeuristic, but I think it's somehow a way to reflect on ourselves and to go, what do we believe in, and what do we want to do with ourselves, and how do you live the life that you want to lead?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people that I sing about are asking those same questions, and I think it makes me think about the same thing. I think that I'm asking those questions through the characters in a way.
Would you sing us another one of those powerful songs of yours?
Let's see. So this is called Greyhound Bus, and most of it is—it's not someone else's story. But I did read this book about, basically, it's like an oral history of people and how they feel about their lives and their work. And I use that as the atmosphere for this song. I'm bound for the Greyhound bus. Got no one left to trust. Kiss my ass, eat my dust. I got dreams, I got a dream. So long to the whipping post. Hello to the Golden Coast. Hang my heart on a hitching post where they got clean air to breathe. When I was 17, I gave up my little girl, but she still haunts my dreams. In the pocket of my jeans, got a picture torn and curled. Wonder if she's just like me. 20 years on the line, sweating tears just to make a dime. Punch the clock, it's quitting time. There's so much I gotta see. Maybe I will find my girl. My heart will be my messenger. Its wings are torn, but man, it's pure, and it beats inside of me. When I was 17, gave up my little girl, but she still haunts my dreams. In the pocket of my jeans, I got a picture torn and curled. Wonder if she's just like me. Maybe I will find my girl. My heart will be my messenger. Its wings are torn, but man, it's pure, and it beats inside of me. Oh yes, it beats inside of me.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. And the new album will obviously be available tonight at the High and Lonesome Club. Yes. And in stores as well?
Yeah, it's out. I just did an in-store at the Folk Festival store. And
yeah.
I'm assuming other stores, too, will have it. CD Plus, I guess.
Did I miss anything, you guys?
You were brilliant.
You're fantastic, Jeff.
We know you got to get out of here because the Nathans are waiting, and we don't want to keep
my famous friends.
We don't want to keep the Nathans waiting.
They're gonna barbecue for me. Yeah.
But I would be remiss if I didn't make a request.
Yeah.
And I mean, please feel free to say no, honestly. But I know sitting around the table that if we all had to come up with our favorite "Oh Susanna" song and write it down, we'd probably all write down the same one. I'm guessing, right? I know you and I would.
Two, though.
Oh, two?
I'm kind of torn.
You like two of her songs? I just like the
favorites.
One. Which, all right. You want to mention them both, and then maybe she'll just play one of them?
No, just play the one you want.
No, I'm not playing it. I'm hoping she'll play it.
One of my favorite songs of yours is Home Soon, the Cherry song.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you were thinking?
That's what I was thinking.
What was the other one?
Is that...
Right, let's see if I can remember it.
I left the whole Johnstown.
My love, I must leave you in late spring to pick the cherry when the blossom white ends its bloom. High in the trees of you I'll sing with a heart heavy that a drop of rain could split it in two. Yes, a drop of rain could split my heart in two. I will return with autumn's flame, and we will marry, and our feet of fire will burn up the floor. Then I will roll you through the leaves and pull you close to me, and I'll never leave you lonely no more. No, I'll never leave you lonely anymore. So rest your head a while in my arms. Though I'll be gone for a while, I won't be gone long. Despite all the joy to me you bring, my mind still worries that a love so bright could be my doom. So only speak of just one thing that you'll promise to me, that you'll wait for me, 'cause I'll be home soon. Yeah, wait for me, 'cause I'm coming home soon.
Wow.
We can all just so die much. Now.
If anybody doesn't want to come to see O Susanna tonight at the Highlands Club after that, you probably shouldn't be listening anymore. Just tune out. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Susie. Real honor and pleasure, and definitely looking forward to seeing you tonight. And hopefully it won't be so many years before you come back again.
I know.
You know?
I got to do more visits to the prairies.
But, High Lonesome Club tonight, Maine, St. Mary, with Scott Nolan. Do you know Scott?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, so that should be a lot of fun. Anyways, we'll play another one from the record, and we'll let you on your way.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.